flesh. That princess or holy sage will be just the type you have been thinking of in your heart for all these long years. She will soon be yours and will serve you to your heart's content. Report that to my grace is devoted to Sri Prabhupada. The Lord rewards all benedictions according to the heart's desire of a devotee. So the Lord informed Kardama Muni, the girl who is coming to be married with you is a princess, the daughter of Emperor Svayambhuva, and so just suitable for your purpose. End quote. Only by God's grace can one get a nice wife just as he desires. Similarly, it is only by God's grace that a girl makes a husband suitable to her heart. Thus it is said that if we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart's desire. In other words, in all circumstances, we must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depend completely on His decision. Man proposes, God disposes. The fulfillment of desires, therefore, should be entrusted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nicest solution. Kardama Muni desired only a wife. But because he was a devotee of the Lord selected a wife for him, who was the emperor's daughter, a princess. Thus Kardama Muni got a wife beyond his expectation. If we depend on the choice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will receive benedictions in greater opulence than we desire. It is also significantly noted here that Kardama Muni was a Brahmin, whereas Emperor Svayambhuva was a Kshatriya. Therefore, intercaste marriage was current even in those days. The system was that a Brahmana could marry the daughter of a Kshatriya, but a Kshatriya could not marry the daughter of a Brahmana. We have evidences from the history of the Vedic age that Shukracharya offered his daughter to Maharaj Yayati, but the king had to refuse to marry the daughter of a Brahmana. Only with the special permission of the Brahmana could they marry. Intercaste marriage, therefore, was not permitted in olden days, many millions of years ago, but there was a regular system of social behavior. So the important point here in this verse is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the fulfiller of everyone's desire, especially the devotees, but everyone is dependent upon Him. Otherwise, there's no possibility of independently fulfilling our desires. Even an animal who wants to eat grass, he has the desire to eat the grass, but it is up to the Lord to provide the earth and the sunshine and the water and the seeds and the grass, and to give him the animal, the intelligence, how to chew the grass. So many things are dependent, and we are not able to fulfill them. Well, Krishna is even fulfilling the desires of the living entities here in the material world, even though we are rebelling against him and using the facilities that he awards us, basically in an attempt to forget him. We come to this material world not to remember Krishna, but to forget Him. Our desire is to become the independent enjoyer. And the Lord will always survey. So Krishna gives us the opportunity to try that. And this is fulfilling our desire. Krishna is not responsible for the individual activities of the living entities. Sometimes people criticize God. Why did he make me do this? Or why did he allow me to do this? Or why did he allow someone else to do this to me? But, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, we are situated as though neutral. And everyone is responsible for their own activities. This is the arrangement that he gives each one of us the choice to do as we wish and to desire as we wish. He doesn't interfere with that. Although the impersonalists, Mayavadis, say that everything is God, or nothing is God. The Brahmavadis say everything is Brahman, and Brahman is the supreme. So, in that sense, we are all Brahman, we are all God. But we are not all God. We are all parts and parcels of God with individuality, and we've been given individual freedom to some extent. We have the individual freedom to desire as we wish. And that desire, that's up to us, according to our association. If we associate with the multi-material nature, sattva-guna or rajagun, tamaguna, then we will desire according to that association. This is also described in Bhagavad Gita. And if we associate with the transcendental nature, or Krishna and Krishna's transcendental paraphernalia, then our desire will become changed. It will become spiritualized. And that is the whole process of the Vedic system. The Varnashram system is also there to help gradually elevate the desires of the human beings from the mode of ignorance to passion to goodness and ultimately to transcendence. The yoga process brings one to transcendence. Therefore, those who are intelligent, they go right to the yoga process. And of all processes of yoga, Kama yoga, Jnana yoga, Dhyana yoga, they go right to the bhakti system. Because the bhakti system of yoga supersedes all other methods of elevation. Other paths may gradually help one. But if one can take to the bhakti path, then he can achieve perfection in one lifetime, whereas the other processes are very slow, long, drawn out. For those who are interested in getting out of this material world, getting back to the spiritual world, getting free from the miseries of material existence, birth, death, old age, and disease, they will take to the bhakti yoga system. So, here, the sage Kardama had a desire for a nice wife. Depending on the desire, whether it is to please Krishna or to please our own senses, it is considered to be either spiritual or material. A wife can be material, or a wife can be spiritual, depending. Or the desire to have a wife can also be material or spiritual. But in any case, one who is a devotee approaches the Lord and presents the case, "Lord, I have this desire." And he thinks that he apologizes for having any desire except the desire of pure surrender. So, if he thinks that I have this desire for a wife and I want to enjoy the association, "My Lord, I apologize, but still, it is up to you. If you wish to fulfill this desire, then I will try to serve you better in that situation." So this is perhaps not the highest stage, but then again, we are not claiming to be on the highest stage. So we may sometimes approach the Lord in this way. But that is better than approaching, for example, the demigods. Krishna clearly not only discourages approaching the demigods, but he considers it vritta-jnana, those whose knowledge has been stolen away by what? Kama, by lusty desires. They approach the demigods for fulfillment. But that is not Krishna's recommendation. It is better to approach Krishna. Because Krishna is a person, and he's a very loving and very kind person. He knows our hearts anyway. He knows what's in our mind. He knows everything. So there's no question of hiding anything. So if we're very honest with Krishna, my Lord, I have this desire. Please purify me by devotional service. If you like, you can fulfill this desire. This is how a devotee prefaces his prayers. If you like, my Lord. It's like Srila Prabhupada, even when he allowed his disciples to pray to the Lord for his continued presence on this planet. He requested them to say, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire that Srila Prabhupada remain. He didn't want to demand anything from the Lord, but if you so desire, and if you do not so desire, then that is fine. Then I accept that also. So there is something to be said here for the proper combination of husband and wife, that there is some value in that. Therefore, formerly, the marriages were arranged by higher intelligence, not simply by the contact of the senses. That's the problem. If a young man and a young woman meet in the improper circumstances, then they may become attracted on the lower level, the bodily level. But that combination may not be so suitable for their ultimate benefit. So formerly, the most responsible persons in society, the parents who are like gurus, and the saintly persons, the brahmanas, would help arrange. In this case, it appears that the Supreme Lord himself is taking part in matchmaking. That means that it's going to be a very auspicious arrangement. And we want everything to be auspicious in our life. We don't want to do anything that will be inauspicious. We don't want to act in such a way that the Lord will be displeased with us by our whimsical behavior. So therefore, the regulative principles of the Varnashram system and of Bhakti Yoga are given to us to protect us. They're called the regulative principles of freedom, because they protect us from being bound up by this material entanglement. They free us from the cycle of birth and death and from making mistakes. So there are four ashrams, beginning with brahmacharya. Gaudama was brahmacharya, but then the brahmacharya has the choice. He may continue and not get married, or he may enter into the grahastha ashram. At that time, it is said that he leaves the ashram of the Gurukula, place of the spiritual master, and goes home, accepts a Vedic wife. And because of his training in his youth, he will not become implicated in illusion, thinking that this life is simply meant to enjoy the senses and to develop the home and a family is all in all. No, he will understand that the goal of life is actually to get out of this world and to go back to home, back to Godhead. But because it is difficult for me at this time to completely dedicate myself without these other considerations, then I will do it according to the regulative principles of spiritual life. Dharma viruta bhuteshu kamo smitaratashva, Krishna says. That sex life which is according to religious principles is myself and is very good. But we have nothing against the Grihastha ashram. The Mayavadis try to say that the only position is to take sannyas and to renounce everything because everything is false. But the Vaishnavas do not say it is false, because it emanates from the Supreme Lord, so nothing is false. And everything can be utilized. Anasaktasya vishayam, uttaramo vijita, nibandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya mujjate. Real renunciation is not to spend one's time trying to deny the existence of everything, but rather to know the art of how to utilize it properly in Krishna's service, because it has relationship with Krishna. So we should see that if we have sincerely dedicated ourselves to the service of Krishna, and if Krishna sends us a nice wife or a nice husband, we should accept that as Krishna's special arrangement. Nothing is happening accidentally. And let us together try to help each other become Krishna conscious, raise pure devoted children who can please Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya by preaching. And in this way, prepare ourselves for going back and entering into the household family of Sri Krishna in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. If there are a few questions or any questions. Okay. Thank you very much. Congratulations, Bhagavan Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.